G'day, and thank you for downloading Right Country, Right Fire, a podcast about how Indigenous people use fire to care for country.
Far North Queensland, a little place called Laura. My grandfather's George Musgrave Sr. and Tommy George Sr. They started this off a fair few years ago, trying to help everybody out to go back to traditional burning and keep their land back the way it used to be. And yeah, they're the heart of all this what's happening down here now.
Part of our research methodology was to make sure that those old people were acknowledged up front. And in 2005, to embark upon the research project in the right way, they were awarded honorary doctorates by James Cook University. And it allowed us to be able to start to demonstrate an appropriate way to research with Indigenous people and with Indigenous people's knowledge systems.
Always feeling them old fellows, you know, and even my own grandmothers and own families. And I think there's just a big mob up there looking down, you know, because it's really important and there's so many spirits and old people looking down on all the other communities too, and everyone involved here, you know, they all feel that same strength, and that all comes from the country and what we need to do to make it healthy again.
We're in beautiful Yuin country on the Shoalhaven River in southern New South Wales. A cold winter morning, 2018, at the National Indigenous Fire Workshop.
These are some of the amazing landscape features that you can see. And all those ones over on the other side of the river, they'll all be lit up now with the sunlight on them. So you can see that there's a lot of that around.
Vicky Parsley is a Yuin Wiradjuri woman. She's showing us round her country.
Got quite a bit of bird life around. Did everyone hear the lyrebird this morning? Yeah, we've got a resident lyrebird around here, so he's had a bit of a repertoire going since yesterday evening when I arrived. I heard him a few times.
There's about 270 people camped here on Yuin country, and they've come from all over Australia to share knowledge about using fire to look after country.
And you'll learn that when you go Sandridge as well. Up there again, it's a different. So every time you go to the gum country, it's the fire will behave differently to the Sandridge country. So when we burn gum, that fire will be a bit higher and move along, you know. And then Sandridge, the fire goes real quick because only certain, the right vegetation over thousands of years looking after country, that right vegetation holds the behaviour of the fire. But because we haven't got the right vegetation, we get the wrong fire. Even if you try burn at the right time. And that's why people go, oh, not much come up. Well, you're burning the wrong, just sick in the first place.
Victor Stephenson, one of the leading voices in the cultural or traditional burning movement, reviving ancient and complex fire practices that can make country and the creatures living on it healthy. This is episode 2 of our podcast. If you haven't heard episode 1 yet, do that now and then come back here. You'll meet the people putting traditional knowledge and science together to better understand the importance of right country, right fire. This year's National Indigenous Fire Workshop 2019 is in the first week of June, hosted by the Yorta Yorta people near Barma on the New South Wales-Victorian border. Go to firesticks.org.au for details and bookings. It's a long way from where the revival of cultural fire practice began. On Cape York Peninsula, far north Queensland.
He's a Tamara Quinkin, good spirit. This place here is known as Collapse Gallery. I'm not going to tell you what location it is. It's pretty sacred. The old people that lived around the area, and the paintings would basically their storyline and what they're seeing.
Right across the Cape, there are galleries documenting the life and beliefs of the first Australians.
Quinquan Country, near Lora, on Cape York Peninsula, as seen on ABC News. Culture and story are strong here. This is where two extraordinary men started something big. Indigenous fire practitioner Victor Stephenson.
Dr. Tom George and Dr. George Musgrave, and who are now passed. When I met them old people, I think all three of us, I think we all sort of locked each other down, I think, and that's where it all sort of began. Those old people were walking encyclopedias, and you know, they knew how to look after their own country, and but yet no one was listening to them. The authorities weren't listening. And I was also seeing how the young people weren't picking the knowledge up. And so that's when we started to record that knowledge. And one day I got a video camera. It was just like handy cam with no microphones. Mm-hmm. And we started to use that to record trees and animals and plants and, you know, story places and information. And it just went from there. And once that the old people saw that the land was so unhealthy, they were always complaining that we needed to burn it, but they just haven't been able to apply their knowledge, and they were like 70, 60, almost 70 years of age then, and they still hadn't been able to demonstrate their knowledge on country. And whenever I said, burn the landscape, they'd say, no, we can't because of the bossmen, meaning the national park rangers and the police and the pastoralists.
Those two old men, Kuku Taipan elders Dr. George and Dr. Musgrave, started this national revival of traditional Indigenous fire practice. It's been used for tens of thousands of years. The right fire, at the right time, in the right place, kept country in good health. And that's something the Europeans noticed and recorded when they first came here. But they were never at ease with the Indigenous view of fire. Traditional fire practice was discouraged, even prevented. But it never completely went away. On Cape York in the early 2000s, those two old fellas started the Kuku Taipan Fire Management Research Project. That led to the first on-country fire workshop in 2008. And there's been one every year since. In 2018, it was held outside Cape York for the first time. A big step forward. Victor Stephenson.
Yeah, it is a big thing, and you know, and I really wanted to take it out of Cape York because, you know, I wanted people to see this workshop work in other parts of the country. And people always saying, oh, it's different up in Cape York. You know, it's not the same as down south or in other places of Australia and, you know, along the East Coast, you know. And I just wanted to prove them that, you know, you can do this workshop outside. And up at Cape York, there's a lot healthier countries up there. But down here, we're on a country that's got no grass at all, you know, and a lot of missing plants. And so it's even more valuable to do it on sick country because people get to see sick country, understand it, but most importantly, how we heal that and start moving forward and seeing the task ahead in healing that. And that they start to see that there's a job for everyone and we need everyone on board, and it's something that we owe the next generations, you know, from the mess that's been left behind already.
Indigenous fire practitioner Victor Stephenson. We'll hear more stories from Victor in a future episode of Right Country, Right Fire. When the National Indigenous Fire Workshop ventured out of its Cape York homeland for the first time, a large contingent of Cape York people went with it, making the long journey south. By road from Lora to Cairns, planes to Sydney, then Canberra, and then a bus ride to the Shoalhaven, deep into the southern winter. It was important, absolutely vital, for those Cape York people to be there. Meet Lewis Musgrave.
I'm from far north Queensland, a little place called Laura. And my grandfather is George Musgrave Sr. and Tommy George Sr. And I'm one of the eldest grandsons of the Taipan clan. And yeah, it's wonderful to be down there. Pretty cold, but pretty all right.
Those two old fellas, they're right at the heart of this story of why we're here. They're the inspiration, really, aren't they?
Yeah. They started this off a fair few years ago. And ever since then, they've been working their way around to all different states, trying to help everybody out to go back to traditional burning and learn how to keep their land back the way it used to be. And yeah, they're the heart of all this what's happening down here now in Canberra. So yeah, it's a privilege of we coming down here to represent our grandfathers and let everybody know that, you know, we're here to help them, to, if we can show them a bit more, and if they're all comfortable what we're showing them, and teach them a bit more, like how we do it up on the Queensland side, up the Cape, to walk out in country around here with the TOs and look at their country and to feel it, and let the land talk to you and tell you what is need. Well, then, you know, the basic of that is being with TOs and walking on country and seeing that. And if you can do that, you know, and let the land talk to you and get it all well, you pretty much know what you're doing, you know. Like, some of the old TOs down here, they know how to burn, but some of the younger ones, they're just starting to pick it up, and they're doing a very good job of it, you know. And with their help, with their knowledge, and like, they can tell us the land and that, but it'd be best if we get out there and look at it ourselves, just so we know what we're dealing with and feel the land.
We'll hear more from Lewis Musgrave in a future episode of Right Country, Right Fire. When the Cape York mob travelled to Shoalhaven, they went via Canberra, where they were welcomed to Ngunnawal country. It was a special moment for Dean Freeman, Aboriginal Cultural Fire Officer with the ACT Parks and Conservation Service.
I get a bit emotional when this sort of stuff happens. I haven't got the words for it to explain it. A lot of people just see how you react to it. And you see that here with a lot of people. 2 days ago, people were here like, oh, yeah, what's it going to be like and how's it going? Now people are sort of walking on air. People are getting involved in the kind of conversations. And a few people who are, you might not have seen talk so much before, they have things to say. You know, this is the idea. The idea here is to share the information that we have so we can improve country. A lot of the people down south here have missed out on that. A lot of them have been going up north to Cape York when they have the fire workshop. But now that it's come down here, you can see from the interest here, there are so many people here from New South, Victoria, Queensland and Tasmania, government agencies. So there is an interest in that now. A lot of areas are doing their cultural burns and also doing what they're calling cool burns. So that's when the Aboriginal people are generally not involved. But again, a cool burn is something where the flame height doesn't get over like a metre or something like that and stays on the ground without getting into the canopy.
We'll hear more from Dean Freeman in a future episode. There's ample proof cultural fire practice keeps country healthy. Where it's not done, invasive species take over. Fuel loads accumulate. Wildfires are common. But where cultural burning is practiced, contemporary science supports the case that appropriate burns benefit environments and biodiversity. Since the start of the fire project on Cape York 15 years ago, contemporary science and traditional knowledge have found ways to work together effectively and appropriately. Peter Stanley has been studying fire practice on the Cape since 2004. She's now doing a PhD on it.
Part of our research methodology was to make sure that those old people were acknowledged up front. So we worked for about a year and a bit working with all the professors and researchers that had worked with those old people over the years and got their doctorates as a result of that and getting them to write letters of support. And in 2005, to embark upon the research project in the right way, they were awarded honorary doctorates by James Cook University.
Hence their Dr. George, Dr. Musgrave.
Yes. That enabled them to be listed as co-researchers on the thesis, and it allowed us to be able to start to demonstrate an appropriate way to research with Indigenous people and with Indigenous people's knowledge systems. Through those experiences, they taught me to be a better driver, they taught me to be a better navigator, but most importantly, over time, and they could see that I was there to help and that I wasn't there to take knowledge, but they were also teaching me how to research appropriately. So I'd ask questions, you know, and I wouldn't get answers straight away. And I think that's really important that, you know, sometimes people think, or, you know, Western systems kind of think, oh, I ask a question and I get an answer, and if I ask a question and I don't get an answer, then that person doesn't know anything. And what they were trying to teach me was that I had to earn that knowledge, and I had to demonstrate that I had the respect to actually receive that knowledge.
We'll hear more from Peter Stanley in a future episode. Right Country, Right Fire is a podcast by Firesticks Alliance Indigenous Corporation, Moolong, and the Importance of Campfires. Supported by Cape York Natural Resource Management. Find all our episodes wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find us on firesticks.org.au and capeyorknrm.com.au. I'm Richard Dinnan. Catch you next time on Right Country, Right Fire.